Hi, this is Michael Wild from Mostly Singles. Fourth Tuesday of the month on WGXC from 8 to 10 p.m. I'm sitting here with local musician, artist, songwriter, producer, engineer, Godfrey Nelson. And if you're not, I'm going to ask you the same question that your nephew asked. If you're not an engineer, what exactly are you?
Well, over the years, I think you have to adjust to, especially nowadays, everybody has to be somewhat of an engineer just to record their own music and be self-contained. But I guess I consider myself a producer, a writer-producer, if someone just flat out asks me, you know. But I do a lot of other things, yeah.
So this being a celebration of local music this month at WGXC. And I urge people to, if you want to become a sustaining supporting member, go to WGXC.org. And it's very easy to do. We've improved the system. So, you know, the idea here is to celebrate local artists. And I just would like you to be able to talk about what's going on.
Well, for me right now, I'm kind of in a different spot. We had a studio in Hudson for 10 years, which we actually sold last year and moved the studio to our home, which we've had in our home in the past, but when we first moved up to the Hudson Valley. But right now, I'm working on all my own projects. I'm working with my partner, Jake Holmes, who actually lives in Beacon. And we're concentrating on social justice projects, you know, songwriting and video. I also do video editing and shoot video. And so we've been, our first project was a song called Secret City, which was actually written during the homeless situation in New York way back in the 80s. And when I guess nowadays it's getting back to what it used to be like, where there are homeless people everywhere. And we picked up that old song and we did a video, and it's all on our website, which is the channel, the Vivors channel, what we call Vivors, VIVORS.org. You can go there, or you can go to the channel on YouTube.
Yeah, you sent me the latest one, Two More Towers, which is incredibly powerful. You see these images of this African plain, which is anything but an island with skyscrapers, and yet the suffering just seems to be, you know, everywhere you look. I was struck by the vista of the African setting in the video, you know, intercut with just pictures of people undergoing it, just the most extreme kind of hardship, with the names that, as you're singing the song, or actually sort of, it's a very aggressive presentation of the subject matter of the song. It's kind of you with your guitar in a very sort of low, gravelly, it's almost stentorial. It's stentorian, but it's also, you're putting across the images in the lyrics of the song, and superimposed over the images are the names of African cities and countries.
Actually, they're tribes.
Okay.
Yeah, they're African tribes, yeah.
Oh, right, Mabuti, right. Yeah. Okay, yeah, right, tribes.
And
they're one after the other, after the other, after the other. I mean, It builds in power that way, because it isn't just one place like Somalia, right? It's like, it's everywhere. Let's hear an excerpt from The Two Towers.
Two more towers fell today, filled with hollow-eyed children. Two more towers fall every day. They are too black to be seen through the fog of our comforts, to be seen through the busy brown struggles. Too black for the world blinded by the diamond sparkle of Kimberly, the oil gush of Nafur, the bright rust of copper, the shine of platinum, gold, tin, and manganese. Two more towers fell today, filled with hollowed-eyed children, blue-black skeletons wrapped in kente tatters. Two more towers fell today, filled with hollowed-eyed children, towers of tigri stone, of darker basement rocks, dust and sand. Two more towers fell today, full of hollowed-eyed children, conceived on scorched earth, infected with war and neglect. Two more towers fell today, no plumes of smoke, no horror-stricken camera crews, no heroes, no speeches, no. To the sky and started to climb to the peaks of man's accomplishments, and once at the summit, maybe finally reach up and tug on the sleeve of God. They died in the towers of hunger. Two more towers fell today, filled with hollowed-eyed children. Two more towers fall every day.
So you're bringing the reality to people in their homes, right? I mean, so this is just one of the projects that you're working on. You were talking earlier about when we were setting up, you said you had other projects about the opioid crisis, for instance.
Yeah, our next video is it's actually also an older song that Jake did the lyric for from a show that he had written some time ago that we adapted to this song that's about the opioid crisis. And I think that's another issue that people just don't want to, you know, really talk about. I mean, you see here and there are people talking about it, but no one's really, I mean, the numbers are just crazy. The number of people that are dying from, you know, overdoses and so on. So this song, this next song we're doing will be about that.
So thank you. So yeah. There's this, on the one hand, there's this sort of thing that started happening in the 60s, which was raising social consciousness, and the musicians were addressing it in their music. At what point do you bring music together with the activity of helping people? I mean, how does that work exactly?
That's a good question. I'm not exactly sure how that works. I mean, we basically started doing this because we just felt the need, or personally, you know, felt the need to say something. And we're both musicians, so obviously that was our outlet. So We've been using music that you know, that we feel for us, that feels right for us. I mean, Jake, he does a lot more with poetry. He does a lot of slam poetry and that kind of thing. But for myself, this is really an outlet for me to you know, try to address some of these issues that I care about. I mean, we want to do a whole series of these pieces, but again, we've done two. You know, so we're really just kind of, I mean, Vivers, I guess I should back up a little bit and explain about Vivers. Now, Vivers is a show about people who are, I guess you could say, have survived some aspect of living. And this group of people live in a shelter together, and they've all had they come from all different aspects of life. We did an online virtual show in conjunction with the Basilica here in Hudson as a part of an NEA grant in 2021. And in that group of people, mostly from the Hudson and Catskill, this area of the Hudson Valley, came from all walks of life. They were addicts, trans, just all different aspects of suffering that they've gone through in society, which brought them kind of together into one group. And if you go to the Vivers channel on YouTube, you can actually see the whole show. So they're like short interviews with the characters, and then a song follows that they sing that kind of it relates to where they are in their life.
Right, and they're all, does this take place in an actual city, or is it sort of anywhere USA?
It can be in anywhere, actually, USA, but we've always thought of it as being in a city because they're living in a warehouse. And the whole premise of the show is that they're living in this warehouse, and in order to make money and income for them, they put on a show, a musical, and that's so you're in the musical. You go to the venue, which is their home, in this which they've set up a stage and everything, which is looks very funky, but we do a lot of tech work in that environment, and you see this show that they present, but then there's this whole other show behind the scene of their daily lives. So it's kind of a reality show meets musical. We've only done it virtually. We have not done it actually in a space.
Right, and they have online identities as well, right? That the
Correct.
People can sort of search for and follow. And
yeah, if you go to vivers.org, you can vivors.org. You can see what it's all about.
And the songs are completely fully produced, right? I mean, could you talk a little about the music?
Yeah, the music is really all different genres of music. It's, you know, it's rock, it's funk, it's gospel. It's every character has their own type of music that they perform. And so there are a dozen songs in that piece. And they range, you know, there's scoring in it as well, but most of it is, lyric that relates to that character. So when the character kind of explains, like, who they are and where they're at, then they sing the song, it really connects them, you know, to the song where they are in their lives.
So how interactive is it? I mean, for somebody to come into this universe from from their computers, they can take part in it. Is that right?
That is correct. Yeah, the whole concept is that it's like I said, it's a reality show meets a musical, but at the same time, everybody has a social media presence. Everybody in the cast, and there's a lot of back and forth going on where you can text, you can on Instagram or whatever. Again, each character would have a different platform depending on who they were and what they were interested in. So if, like, say that one of them was an artist or a creative person in that sense, they would be on Instagram, and they would have an Instagram account, then you could communicate with them off stage, not part of the actual show. And that would change as you might We might even have clips online. So there's this whole online presence as well as this live presence. The online presence is more of like the reality side, so the backstage side of their lives. So, I mean, you might see one of them go and get a tattoo or, you know, whatever it may be, just like in a reality show.
So let's say theoretically somebody produced the show and you had this huge warehouse space that there would be performances, I'm assuming. How different would those performances be from night to night? Were they completely different?
Or yeah, they could be. They could be different. And they could be different in the way the audience interacts, because the actual space would not be a theater like as you know it. It would be funky. There would be screens all over the place. So you would actually see outside feeds as well, say like an Al Jazeera feed. And you'd see other things that are going on in the world. And you might see the music would change all the time, not necessarily every night, but there would be changes in these, what's going on in these screens, and in between the performances, there would be changes as well. So there would be people actually, there would be cameras backstage. I mean, not unlike Birdman. I mean, if you think of Birdman, the movie Birdman, there was this stage presence, and then there was this whole backstage presence. It's kind of like that, but in the space would be like, I don't even know there would be wires all over. It wouldn't be like a slicked out theater. It would be like a really funky space. That's why Basilica was such a great space to do it in, because it's such a raw space. You could really set it up in any way you want, but we couldn't do the live performance because of COVID. But the plan was to do a live performance with a live band. And that live performance is more like a rock concert. You know, it's more, you know, straight up concert.
So how many musicians, since this is a music-oriented interview, what could you describe the musicians in the band? Like how many pieces, what kind of instrumentation you're arranging, how many singers, you know, I know it varies from song to song, but I'd just like to hear a little about that, because I know that you worked really hard to get it together. I know that.
Yeah, the band would be just a basic band, you know, bass, drums, two guitars, keyboards, maybe a couple of backup singers. Everybody in the show, there could be instrumentalists in the show depending on who you cast and where you cast it. And obviously that cast would change probably, you know, quite frequently as far as cast members. And then the show would shift as far as the cast members are concerned. Like, for instance, people change in their life even while you're, like, say, in this one situation that happened with the last time we were working on it, was that a person in the cast was a woman who came in as a woman. And during the process of rehearsals and putting this together, she came to us and told us that she was transitioning and if that would be a problem. And, of course, that's exactly what the show is about. It's about, you know, it's about people going through these changes and so forth. And so, like, that kind of thing. So she transitioned and became a he during the process of the show, and we deal with that actually in the show. And so other instances are, you know, people who are, like, say, a recovering addict, who we have a character who's a recovering addict in the show. Like, for instance, this didn't happen with this character, but say, for instance, that character has a relapse, you know, and things like we would try to work that into the show and show the difficulties of how difficult it is to stay sober and clean in today's, you know, today's world. So, I mean, those kind of things, that's how the show would evolve all the time, you know, depending on what's going on in people's lives.
Did any of the characters actually die?
No.
Well, that's very hopeful.
Yeah. Actually, if you ask me what the show is about, it is about hope. I mean, that is what it's all about. I mean, we addressed climate change. We address a lot of these different things visually and, you know, because the characters in the show are concerned about it.
Let's hear an example or a sample from Vivers.
You picked the wrong time, you picked the wrong place, you picked the wrong world, you picked the wrong space, you picked the wrong song, you picked the wrong dance, you picked the wrong life. You've got no chance, no chance. Foolish flowers,
you see darkness, we see light.
Foolish flowers,
we know we can make it right. Yes, we're fools, we're rushing in, we're fearful angels.
What are the commercial prospects of a songwriter who isn't necessarily a performer?
That's not a good prospect, in my opinion. I think today, I think live performance is going to come back even more and more because of what's going on. It's really the only way musicians can make a living outside of, I mean, I say that, but I'm not a performing musician. I mean, I always made my living writing music and working in, you know, television and different fields like that, which still exists, but not like it was as far as financially. But I think you have to really do both. You have to perform. I have a friend whose son is a singer-songwriter, and he will play anywhere, and he's doing great. I mean, he puts out his own music. He's got millions of plays on Spotify, and it's because he'll go to the library and play. He'll play at a club. He'll do anything, you know. And I think that's pretty much what you have to do. I mean, you have to perform.
So you're perfectly well poised now to be doing exactly what you're doing with your partner Jake, having come from where your roots, right? Because you were a performing musician way back when. You had lots of bands. I had you and Lorraine on to my show a couple of years ago, and we played a ton of your music. So I know that you've got that in your DNA. So now you're translating it into this way of helping people, right? I mean, is that a good way of?
Well, I hope I'm saying it. If I can help a person, it would be
at least one person.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's you can't really. I mean, you put it out there. I can't really have any expectations about where it's going to end up, but that's the idea.
I've been sitting here with Godfrey Nelson. I'm Michael Wild. And if you wish to become a sustaining supporting member of WGXC, go to wgxc.org, click donate. We'd love to have you be part of our community. And thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Michael.